Hello and welcome to Compulsive Reader Talks. I'm Magdalena Ball, and I'd like to begin by acknowledging the Awabakal people and pay respects to Elder past, present. My guest today is an award-winning emerging filmmaker, maybe not even so emerging anymore, with a master's in directing from NIDA, nominated for a Robin Anderson Film Award, Best Director at Sanford International Film Festival, Best Music Video, Best Experimental at the Atom Awards, Best Director at Cinefest Oz, Best Short Director at Kansas Art House Film Festival, and that's just a small selection of accolades. Samuel Lucas Allen, welcome.
Hi Maggie, how are you today?
Great, great. It's good to be talking to you. And we're
I
here
hope I'm
today. Go, go,
yes,
go.
I hope I'm still emerging to some degree.
We're all emerging. So we're here today to talk about your extraordinary new film, Cut, which is premiering in Australia on the 2nd of November. That's next week at this year's Sydney Jewish International Film Festival. So, firstly, congratulations on the new film.
Thank you. It's been a real labor of love for myself and for everyone who's been a part of it. I think it's really beautiful that it is coming to fruition and is going to be seen by so many wonderful people. We had our international premiere in the Vancouver International Film Festival a couple of weeks ago, and it was just so lovely to hear people talking about it and hear people engaging with it. And I unfortunately couldn't go, but I'm so thrilled to actually get into a room and feel people watching it and a bit terrified.
Yes. But also maybe electric, just to see what maybe the visceral impact of the film is on people, because it is such a visceral film.
Yes, I guess one of my philosophies of art making has always been that good art either makes you lean in or recoil. And I really love that visceral physicality, but it's almost impossible to kind of get a sense of if it's working if you're not actually in the room, which is why I also theater.
Yes, of course, wonderful. And I don't want you to give anything away, but maybe you could just give us a little bit of a synopsis, because I think maybe I may be the only person who's seen it
Yeah,
here
sure.
in this country, at least.
Yes, of course. Cut is a magic realist short drama that follows a young boy man named Daniel as he's torn between the worlds of his secret high school lover Isaac, his best friend, a burgeoning neo-Nazi and online right-wing extremist, James, and his religious Jewish father, Adam. We follow him as he's sort of torn between these different masks of self and selfhood, and then as he is haunted by the specter of a Hasidic man demanding a sacrifice.
Wonderful. And it's timely, and also as I say, very, very powerful. There's so many themes that come out in the film, and I almost feel like it's hard to talk about it, because there's so much in the film that so much meaning that emerges in the film in kind of visual, non-semantic ways.
Yeah, it's certainly the most visual film I've ever made, and I think that was one of like my great joys and successes working on this film was that it is so driven by its visuals. And I ha really have to thank my wonderful director of photography, Susan Lumsden, who is just a bloody genius. Like, she is so smart, she's so switched on. I have never worked with such a sweet and kind and thoughtful director of photography. Yeah, she deserves the world, and I hope she wins some awards for this one because it is beautiful, her work on it.
Yeah, absolutely. There's some really incredible visuals too. I mean, there's a moment, cinematography throughout the film is really striking. And there's a moment, it's in one of the stills, so people can see it. And I might put some links to some of those as well in the show notes. But the one I'm talking about, where Daniel, who's the film's protagonist, is looking down the steps at the Sydney Jewish Museum, and he's looking at that big star. But also, there's reflections, and we don't know this in the still, but he's like standing in front of a picture of Hitler just a few minutes before his friend does a Sieg Heil salute. Just talk to me a little bit about some of the moments in that film, and really where it started. In your head, did you begin with those striking images and pull them together into a narrative, or was it the other way around?
This film, it sort of came about both ways that the images occurred. This film is by far and away the most embarrassingly autobiographical film I've ever made. And I say that not in that I am Daniel the protagonist, but rather that I am all of the characters. I am, you know, I was the burgeoning neo-Nazi. I was the secret gay lover. I was the conflicted Jew. It is a showcase of all of the different complexities of what it meant to grow up in this world that is so fractured and painful and emergent. And so for me, the beginnings of the film were actually the queer relationship, which is between Daniel and Isaac. And it started with the line, "How come you're cut?" Which was something someone actually, not to be too graphic, said that to me once. And I was like, that is such a great line. Like, that is such a killer line. I always wanted that scene to be like this gorgeous, almost Call Me By Your Name-esque, like, field of, like, beauty, but then also transform into this kind of darker, more conflicted scene. And certainly some of the other visuals were very, very caught from the beginning. I always knew there was a chicken from the Kapparot ritual, and I always knew about the Tefillin. And I was like, these are kind of the images I want to go down. The Jewish Museum, ironically enough, was the absolute last thing to be added to the film. It was all the doing of my wonderful producer, Richard James Allen, we were scouting locations for the film, and we were searching and searching, and we were trying to find the right school, and we found this amazing, at the time, unused school building because it was because of COVID. And he reached out to the Sydney Jewish Museum without telling me, actually. I was like, why are we doing this? We don't have time to go to the Sydney Jewish Museum. That's ridiculous. And he was like, let's just go. Let's just take a look. And I hadn't been in years. And I went and I was just like, bowled away by it. It was so beautiful. And they were so generous with their time, allowing us to shoot. And giving us space and giving us access. And yeah, I think it really, that image, particularly that series of images, really elevates the concerns of the film to a whole nother level, which I think is really cool.
Yeah, absolutely. And there are moments like that's just one moment. I mean, and it is an amazing moment. And we'll get back to your producer as well. but those moments occur at different points throughout the film. And you know, when you watch it again, I feel like they're creating their own kind of meaning, almost as if each one of those snapshots had a kind of reverberation that again goes beyond a narrative tale and kind of circles back to all sorts of themes and all sorts of concepts, you know, what it means to be toxic masculinity, what it means to grow up, what it means to be, you know, in a country like Australia, what Australian means, you know, there's just so many things that happen.
Yeah, I think that that influence, that idea of like the semi-graphic tale above semiotic tale, sorry. The idea of the semiotic tale above the tale itself is something that really comes out of my theater practice. You know, traditionally in theater, you see the best directors in the world take on stories, you know, that are well-trodden, your Shakespeare's, your Chekhov's, your Greek tragedies, and they use the semiotic lens on top of it to tell an additional story within the story. While still telling, you know, the narrative. And I think that's something I really aspire to in my filmmaking, to use image to expand the world of the story and also tell more than just the story itself. Because in some ways, this story is quite small, right? It's about a young man dealing with something quite personal that is not going to affect, you know, really anyone but himself. But it is, for me, a story of larger emotions and larger concerns and guilt.
Yeah, absolutely. Which I think, you know, can be read by anyone, and including, you know, an old, you know, gal like me.
We all have our guilts.
Yeah, absolutely. And we all have our masks, and we all have, you know, things that we've rejected and things that we, you know, have engaged in those ways. And, you know, I think about, for example, that tension with Daniel's friend group and, you know, that wanting to belong to a group. And yet knowing, feeling, sensing full well that something is very wrong with the ethos of that group, and maybe not to the quite to the extent that Daniel experiences it. That's, you know, what a film is about. But, you know, certainly that is a universal theme.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like we've all had that experience of being in a friend group that you really kind of know you have no business being in. But, you know, you have this drive to survive and stay alive. And, you know, it's so human to change oneself, to fit in, to code switch, to cave on yourself in a way. And I think that's, for me, what the film's about is, and what most of my work is about exploring those moments of taking responsibility. And I think, you know, for this film sets up a character who is not taking responsibility for anything in their life, and in fact doesn't take responsibility in the film until responsibility is thrust upon him. And then, you know, he has the choice at that point to either become complicit again or change. And you'll have to watch the film to find out which one he does.
Yes, wonderful. And let's talk about the thrusting upon to a certain extent. Not too much, because I don't want to give anything away, but, you know, your producer, also a wonderful actor in the film, and you know, also related to you in a very direct way, the fabulous Richard James Allen, who has actually been in this show twice. He plays a Hasidic Jew holding a chicken, and he does a very good job. He's a brilliant.
Excellent job. He really did. It's just wonderful, his performance in this. I think he's really, I mean, I am very lucky to come from a creative family who are wonderfully supportive of me and my craft and what I do. And I have the wonderful privilege of getting to feed that back to them and work with them creatively and work in other roles on the productions that they make. So we kind of ended up in this wonderful physical family series thing, which is this I'll say that again. We've kind of ended up in this wonderful canon of work together, which my parents have, you know, affectionately called the physical family series, which I think is great. So nowadays my dad acts in my stuff, but there was a time when I was in utero and a child and all through my childhood where I was performing in all of my parents' works, which I think is kind of a nice symmetry. And Richard does do an amazing job with this character. It's such a archetypal character. He didn't have a lot to work with, and I remember when we were talking about it, I had to kind of explain to him that he was like a character almost without motivation. He was more of a force than a character, which was a really interesting lens to look at performance work through.
Yes. Even almost maybe a ghost. Almost, yeah. Like, you know, Banquo, really, you know, standing there with its chicken.
Chicken. We discussed him as sort of the specter of guilt, I would say. And that's, I think, quite a fun place to be. And, you know, it is certainly part of the Jewish experience to feel guilt, famously. I know I do.
And maybe particularly.
Yes.
And let's talk a little bit about that chicken too, because it's guilt, but it's also, I feel like it's also love, not just guilt. And there is this whole father-son thing that's
happening. Sorry, Maggie. Could you just repeat that question? Your Zoom cut out, so I missed you.
Oh, yeah, sorry. I just said, let's talk about the chicken.
Oh, great.
I feel like there's a whole father-son thing going on. I mean, let's even just discount the kind of almost fun little meta detail of the fact that, you know, it is the real father
father and the hypothetical son.
The hypothetical, biographical, but not really biographical son. And not really father either, but because he's acting in a role. But it's an interesting symmetry. But even putting that aside, the father-son theme is really strong and really interesting in that.
Yeah, it's an interesting one to me. I have always made films about fathers. And I think I am, you know, despite being somewhat divorced from my own masculinity, and using, you know, they and he pronouns, I still have a real relationship to masculinity. And I think, you know, especially in the last couple of years, we've seen, of course, like a huge movement towards the detoxification of masculinity. But I also have a sort of love affair with it. And I think there's like beautiful work to be done in fatherhood. And I think in some ways this film is really in more ways than it is about guilt, it is also about how to raise someone or how to be there for someone. And I think that relationship with the father, played by Ash, who is just wonderful, was a really great relationship. Even though it's by far the smallest role in the film, it's so present, and it ends the film with this really powerful note of acceptance. And I think there's this feeling of like, certainly something I had in my childhood was the unconditional love of a parent or a community or perhaps even God. The idea that you, no matter how far out you stray, there will always be room for you to come back. So I think that was a really poignant theme. And then the chicken is an allusion to the Kapparot ritual, which is done by some Hasidic, it's very controversial, but it's done by some Hasidic Jews, particularly in New York, actually, where they, much like the Catholic confessional, they give their guilt to the chicken. So the ritual is a transference of guilt, and they are transferring the guilt of the person, and they slaughter the chicken to kill it with the guilt, and then they have to give that chicken to charity, or the carcass of the chicken to charity, which I think is always a beautiful idea. And I remember stumbling upon this ritual and seeing videos of it, and we do it very gently in this film, you know, it's very like soft. And thank God for our chicken, who was the most beautiful sweet rooster, who was just so happy to be handled. It was great. But you know, when they do it for real, they, you know, grab them by the back and wings and just swinging them around the head, it's very intense. But yeah, it's a really wonderful image that I'm really proud of.
Yeah, actually, now that you mention, I remember Richard putting something up on Facebook about looking for a chicken. I'm connecting those dots. I was going to say, you know, your chicken is a really good actor.
I know. Blaze the chicken. He's a rooster. He is actually, we cast Blaze because I was able to find a stunt double for Blaze, which was a taxidermied chicken, which never appears in the film because Blaze was so good. And Blaze and Richard just found this connection that they were really together in with each other on this journey, which was quite sweet.
Blaze calmed down when he was held.
Yeah, when Richard held him, Blaze would not be held by anyone else, of course. But no, it was wonderful. And, you know, we were so blessed with this film to have such wonderful people on it. Like, I feel I should really acknowledge all of the wonderful actors, not just Richard, who gave such commitment and love to these performances and workshopped these characters with me and played with me and gave me their time. I mean, of course, I have to talk about Will, who is just
incredible
in this film. Like, they don't have actors for short film actors, but he deserves one, right? He just absolutely gave himself to this process. And I've always been really lucky to work with actors who are really committed, but Will's on a whole nother level. I just, you know, on the night when we shot the final Kapparot scene, you know, he was on his knees in the gravel, on the dirt for hours. No complaining, no nothing. He was just there and he was present. And, you know, whenever you said we're ready for a take, he was ready. He was there. So much love for that young man. He is a wonderful actor, and I'm very sad that he won't be at the premiere as he's off rehearsing a play in Brisbane, which will be going up at the Powerhouse in Brisbane.
Oh, well, I'll give a plug to all the acting because it really is astonishing. You know, it's lump in the throat good. Mm-hmm. So are you tempted? I mean, you know, you cover a lot of ground and lots left open, and I think it works perfectly, but you're tempted to make this into a full length? I mean, I think there's plenty more material if you wanted to.
Yeah, I was very tempted. And in fact, I have a feature film script, which is not a direct recreation of this film, but it is a thematic Big Brother, perhaps. This was written as the thematic proof of concept to a film I've written called The Lobster and the Golem, but I think that is going to change titles, which tracks a young Jewish politician who's recently been elected as a member of parliament in New South Wales through his meteoric rise through the Labour Party and his complexity in relationship to alt-right extremism and the modern day and queerness, whilst he is being haunted by dreams of being a 17th century golem in Prague. So Yeah, it's a cool film. It's really lovely. I have the script for that, but I've been sort of workshopping. I'm currently in pre-production for another short film, which also has a feature film attached to it, which is a little bit more about politics. But certainly there was some very wise people who I didn't listen to when I was making this film, who said, "Sam, you are going through all the work of making a feature film without making a feature film." And I said to them, "Ah, pish posh." But they were right. Big shout out to Robbie Mills, the head of the producing course over at Afters, or not the head, he's head of development producing. Anyway, he's a wonderful, wonderful guy. He read the script and he said, "This is a great script. You should make a feature film instead." And certainly there was a temptation, though I don't really know if there's that much more for me. I mean, I wouldn't be opposed to workshopping it. I don't know if there's that much more for me in Daniel's story. I would love to explore some of the other characters. I really love Isaac, who's played by Daniel Gabriel. It's just such a sweet character. And Daniel Gabriel is such a wonderful, funny, warm actor. And of course, James, played by Ryan, who is just killer. I just love those three boys and I'd love to get deeper into them. And of course, Ange, played by Jess, who is, you know, the one sort of feminine light in this film, which I think Jess just carries off like a rocket.
Yeah, they're all amazing. And you know, you want to see, like, this is why, I'm coming in as mother, but, you know, I'd love to see what, you know, how they all, what's their arc? What happens after high school, you know? Do they grow out of it? Do they develop, you know, get complex beyond where they were, and, you know, do things play out? So interesting, yeah. A lot of interesting stuff. And maybe it's kind of nice not to answer those questions. I mean, sometimes, are you particularly drawn to the short in that, you know, in many ways it's like poetry, it kind of leaves more room?
Yeah, I love short films. I am a big watcher of short films. Every time I make a short film, I swear it's the last short film I'll ever make. And then I have a really good idea for a short film. And I think really good ideas for short film are films, you know, that they take you in a way that sometimes features don't. I mean, features are wonderful, but they're so much more expansive in their scope. And you kind of really have to be methodical and thoughtful about the whole world. Whereas the short film, particularly the one I'm writing right now, is so visceral and so sharp and so focused. In some ways, I would say that Cut isn't a typical short film in that it is so broad. You know, we do have so many named characters and so many different plot lines and so many different things. And I think that was why I was really excited to make this film. And, you know, I don't like to talk about art as successful or unsuccessful, but it was one of the most difficult parts of the work was to be able to tell all these stories and do them all justice. And hopefully we did a good job with it. Yeah. Hard to know.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. But have you had some reverberations from some of those premieres? I mean, what, you've had Berlin, Warsaw, California?
We have Warsaw coming up. We've had Berlin and we've had Vancouver. We've had really wonderful positive responses from both. Again, it's sort of hard to know exactly how it's being received without being there, and, you know, the short film world being what it is. But, you know, I got a couple of cold emails from people saying how much they enjoyed the film, and, you know, I had some friends who managed to go to each of the screenings and they said they loved it and they were really moved by it. I am, of course, absolutely terrified of the screening that is coming up, as I will have to be confronted with it. I haven't seen the film in about a year, so no, that's not true. In a couple of months, I'm terrified.
Oh, will you just be sitting there in the audience?
Yeah, I'll probably cry. I usually cry the first time I see one of my films with an audience. Not that I am so moved by my own work, but rather I just get so exceptionally nervous. But it's a beautiful thing to kind of be in an audience like that, and, you know, feel that connection. And, you know, I'm so grateful to be at the Randburg Ritz, which is one of my favorite cinemas in the world, and to just be in this beautiful golden age gilded cinema, and to get to share this is going to be so exciting.
Yeah, I mean, I imagine too, like, you know, with anything that becomes an artifact from, you know, from a notion into a, you know, something that is external to you and completely external to you, and being received and creating some kind of meaning in the different minds that are in the room, you know, I imagine that in some ways, you know, you're just another member of the audience.
Yeah.
It would be really interesting to be there and see it almost with this kind of objective third person eyes.
Hopefully, we'll see. There does come a moment. I don't know if it'll be this one, but you know, there does always come a moment with your films where you suddenly are like, oh, I am an outsider to this film now. Not truly, but there is like a side of me that can truly see how this film works. And I was really gratified. I was showing some of my students one of my previous films recently. I was like, oh, I like this film. This is a good film. So it's a nice feeling. I don't know if I'm quite there with Cut. I'm very excited for everyone to see it.
Well, I guess unlike, you know, a book, well, maybe not even unlike a book, but, you know, there's so many other people who were part of that production process. I mean, just from that moment, you know, when the head's being shaved right at the beginning, you know, I can imagine there's like, you know, that's it's a chilling opening, really.
Yeah. And oh my God, it was the first thing we shot as well, which was terrifying. Really had one go at it.
Yeah, that's true. You don't get to do it again.
But again, what a wonderful camera team. I mean, like to imagine that our very first shot is that beautiful close-up of Will is just amazing. It's like, you know, it's the language the whole film is set up. Susan's done such a beautiful job. And, you know, everyone on that crew did such a beautiful job. Our design work, our cinematographer work, everyone's
and,
really...
And the film score by Sam Weiss. Tell me about that, because that is just...
Score, it's... Yeah. Yeah, I would say in some ways the score is like... one of the things I am most proud of in my entire career. It is so cool. It rocks. Sam Weiss rocks. Sam Weiss was just a dream to work with, by the way. It was, you know, we got a recommendation from one of his mentors. And he was just brilliant the whole way through. We would throw references back and forth. And we did the whole score. You know, sort of remotely, he would send me stuff. I'd send him thoughts. He'd send me stuff. I'd send him thoughts. And we went back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And then we were so privileged to get to work with the Shira Gold Hasidic Men's Choir over in New York, which is like this 15-person men's Hasidic choir. And they're just huge voices. And the music is just out of this world.
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah.
It really is. It's incredible. The whole thing really melts together brilliantly. So wonderful. We're almost out of time, believe it or not. But I have to ask, what, you know, I know you've got another project in hand. Is that Now Then After?
No, this is a third new project, which is, I think, called Out of Their Misery, which is about the ethics of political assassination and bringing children into the world in the modern day.
Great. Wonderful. It was, you know, just a few big subjects there.
You know, keep it small.
Yeah, keep it small. And what else is exciting you? Like your own work or project ideas or something you've read, seen or heard that you're really dying to get stuck into or that you're just want to talk about?
I'm so currently excited by Australia. I've recently moved to the beach, which has been A, great for my mental health, but B, I just feel so connected to this country and the creative work that's happening here. And I feel like we are on the precipice of a beautiful Australian renaissance of film and TV. And, you know, talking to people, I can feel this like energy in the air. And I'm really excited to see, I don't know, Australia blossom into the filmmaking country. It's sort of always promised itself it could be. We've had such a history of filmmaking in this country, and I think it's just a wonderful time to be a filmmaker.
Fantastic. Well, look, if you know, if anything can save us, it's got to be art, right? It's whatever can hold multiple concepts at once instead of you know, throwing us into corners has got to be the way forward. So fantastic.
Yeah.
Samuel Allen, thank you so much for spending some time chatting with me today, and good luck with the premiere, and yeah, we'll include all the details in the show notes.
Thank you so much. This was a pleasure. It's lovely to chat, and I look forward to hopefully seeing you there.
Thanks very much.
All right, bye.
Bye.